Still no answers in the disappearance of Star Mulder. Mulder was last seen at her home in Wetumpka in June of 2016. Her ex-husband has been named as a person of interest in the case. If you have any information about the disappearance of Star Mulder, call the Elmore County Sheriff's Office. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACV Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents
and Doug.
Limu, there's a woman threatening to sign up for generic car insurance.
Grab your birdseed and let's go.
I'm going to sign these papers right here, right now.
Ma'am, drop the pen. Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
Thanks, Limu, Emu, and Doug.
Don't thank us. Thank Liberty Mutual, but also thank us.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
Right now, Ortho's Home Defense Insect Killer is just $4.97 at the Home Depot. Great news for anyone who's not a bug. Home Defense kills them where they live, inside the house, outside the house, and it keeps new ones away for up to 12 months. There will soon be no place for bugs to buzz, creep, crawl, or hide. Today is the day for doing. Make it count with Ortho Home Defense Insect Killer. Now just $4.97 at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store.
Alabama is a state deeply rooted in military tradition, and we at Alabama Home Mortgage appreciate the sacrifices that our men and women in uniform make each and every day. I'm Kim Williams, and I'm here to tell you there is a difference in mortgage companies. Don't be fooled by mortgage companies with veteran in their name. Call the mortgage company with veterans in their blood. The entire Alabama Home Mortgage staff are children of military veterans. We understand what it means to serve. If you're looking for a VA loan, call Alabama Home Mortgage 567-4223. With a VA loan, there's no money out of pocket, 100% financing. There's simply nothing better than a VA mortgage loan. Ella, tell them what to do.
Call my mom, Kim Williams, at 567-4223. That's 567-4223.
That's right. Or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to get your VA home loan today. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
A massive victory rally in Toronto for the Raptors erupted into chaos. Gunshots set off a stampede of people running for safety.
A terrifying scene as a masked gunman opens fire on a federal courthouse in Dallas.
Newly released evidence points to Iran in the tanker attacks as the Iranians step up their production of uranium.
Millions bracing for major rain and flooding this week from Colorado all the way to the East Coast, from D.C. up through Philly in the next 24 hours.
It happened again, this time in the waters off of Baldhead Island in North Carolina. An 8-year-old boy Sunday bitten by a shark while playing in the surf.
Tributes are pouring in for an American icon, Gloria Vanderbilt, the heiress, artist, and fashion designer who in her 95 years saw more and did more than most of us could in several lifetimes.
She died at home, surrounded by family and friends.
President Trump now says he has a plan for the issue most important to American voters, health care.
We're going to produce phenomenal health care.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading, My Pledge, he had written these words. America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
Tomahawk is up 320 points and 85 degrees outside. And guess what we need to do?
Oh, yes.
The Marguerite One Carat Forever Mark Diamond Giveaway Drawing for this hour. Now, we're going to read a name, and the person's name who is called needs to call 396-5477 within the hour. And the name is?
Ooh, it's a good one. It's a good one. Henrietta Cargill.
Henry, we've had some great names. Henrietta Cargill.
So Henrietta Cargill, call 396-5477.
There you go, Henrietta. And good luck and congratulations on getting into the drawing for the $10,000 Forever Mark, Marguerite's Forever Mark Diamond Giveaway. I tell you what, that's a great deal. Okay, let's see. We got a lot kind of going on here. It's stock market is skyrocketing because Donald Trump tweeted out that he was going to have a meeting with Ping from China at the G20 meeting.
Oh.
And I mean, there's a lot of news kind of going on here. We've got they're going to be doing a big roundup. Let's start out with that, by the way. The roundup of Trump vows mass crackdown on undocumented workers. We're going to start with this.
President Trump is promising a mass crackdown on undocumented immigrants that could include families with children. He made that vow in a pair of tweets yesterday, writing that Immigration and Customs Enforcement will begin removing, quote, millions of illegal aliens next week. The details are not clear. The largest number of undocumented migrants removed by ICE in a single fiscal year was about 409,000 in 2012.
The Pew Research Center estimates that there are at least 10.5 million unauthorized immigrants in the U.S. Earlier this month, Acting ICE Director Mark Morgan said the agency plans to target migrants with final deportation orders, including families, to deter a surge of migrants. Customs and Border Protection says it apprehended or denied entry to more than 144,000 migrants at the southern border last month. That's more than three every minute.
Okay. So they're talking about literally rounding up millions of people. So how do you think the media is going to play this?
Oh, not well.
Is it going to be the concentration camp or the internment camp kind of thing? Yeah. Getting them, rounding them up, calling it Gestapo tactics and all that kind of good stuff?
Well, and you'll be removing children from parents because you can't move them the same way in the same facilities.
Of course. The first clip I sent you, can we do that one? This is OAC here. Talking about concentration camps, let me know if... I'm not sure how long this thing is.
Here we go.
Yeah, we're good with
The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border.
Oh, man.
And that is exactly what they are. They are concentration camps. And if that doesn't bother you, I don't... we can have, okay, whatever. I want to talk to the people that are concerned enough with humanity to say that we should not, that never again means something. And that the fact that concentration camps are now an institutionalized practice in the home of the free is extraordinarily disturbing. And we need to do something about it. This week, immigrant children were moved to the same internment camps where the Japanese were held in the earlier 20th century. And this is not even about a crisis for, this is not just about the immigrant communities being held in concentration camps. Being a crisis, this is a crisis for ourselves. This is a crisis on if America will remain America in its actual principles and values, or if we are losing to an authoritarian and fascist presidency. And so I think that is, I don't use those words lightly. I don't use those words to just throw bombs.
Really?
I use that word because that is what an administration that creates concentration camps is. A presidency that creates concentration camps is fascist. And it's very difficult to say that.
That's where the video cuts off. That was from, it looked like she was doing an Instagram live or Facebook live video.
That is unbelievable. That is absolutely unbelievable that she would use those words, and particularly using the phrase never again, which is a Jewish phrase of we'll never be subject to this again, and saying that, I mean, using the same internment camps that they put the Japanese in, where were they kind of like in frozen animation for,
right,
for 60 years? That's unbelievable. That is absolutely incredible. And she would say that. Go to that Morning Joe clip, and we'll talk about that one next.
Yeah, I was wondering, are these work camps, extermination camps? I mean, I'm not happy with the fact that the way our immigration system is and where it's at, that you do have thousands of people kind of huddled together. They're not work camps, they're not extermination camps, which is the implication. But I think if you had more judges, if you had more agents, all sorts of people to process folks and actually get this done, and more agreements with the Mexican government and other Latin American governments, you wouldn't have to be holding thousands of people at the border.
Well, just the shrillness of that is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And she's obviously speaking out of complete ignorance, meaning lack of knowledge is the word definition of the word English, ignorance. Okay, so this was Morning Joe this morning. They had done the opening part, introduced everybody, and they kind of get to this subject right off the bat.
but kicking off his re-election campaign today, a campaign which is suffering in recent days.
Suffering.
Sagging poll numbers, losing by double digits to Joe Biden, and failing to outpace all other Democrats. Trump bashed those results last night in a tweet, writing, "Fox News polls are always bad for me. They were against crooked Hillary also. Something weird going on at Fox. Our polls show us leading in all 17 swing states."
Okay, we have to stop right there very quickly. Sam Stein, of course, he fired his pollster because his internal polls actually were worse than Fox News's polls. His own polls showed he was getting absolutely pounded by Biden in every important swing state.
But they were supposedly fake polls, so there's no need to fire the pollster if they're fake, right? So I'm amazed by this tweet, in part because I didn't realize there were 17 swing states, and I'm shocked that Trump's leading all of them, I guess. But it's really irrational to just get bad news and then fire the person who's delivering the news, but this is the world we live in, right?
I guess so. But, I mean, getting pounded by double digits in Wisconsin, in Michigan, Pennsylvania.
Florida was looking bad.
Losing badly in Florida, losing in North Carolina, losing by 17 points in Virginia. You go to all the swing states, down in Georgia by 6 points. Only ahead by two in Texas.
Some would argue that that was why he was selling out America, to try and get some foreign country to help cheat, because polls look so bad, there's no other way to win.
Well, I just think...
Stop it right there if you could.
How tough a...
What he did is he bifurcated two polls. He took the Fox poll, and then he took the in-house poll from Donald Trump from 3 months ago, and he bifurcated those two things. That's unbelievable. Let's do this, Joey. Let's go on a break. Come back. We'll finish a little more of this, and then we'll read you some poll numbers back from 1980, 83, 91, 95, and 2011. You can be interested in these.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Nudell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet, or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
As a kid, I got a kick out of helping my grandpa string up a white sheet in the living room while grandma loaded the reel with home movies. I even enjoy watching the VHS tapes my parents took of me at my first soccer game. My poor dad, running around the field with that huge camcorder on his shoulder, huffing and puffing. I capture all my kiddos' moments on my phone. I don't want to lose this visual history, as I like to call it. I did my research and trusted Dan Black Studios to convert our files and films. Dan Black Studios has provided quality professional video services to the River Region for over 30 years and can convert anything to a DVD or digital format. 8mm films, slides, VHS tapes, iPhone videos and pictures. I mean, everything. Dan Black Studios' processing facility is in Montgomery, unlike the big box store, so you don't have to worry about anything being lost in transit. Preserve your visual history. Call Dan Black Studios at 334-279-6036.
Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power with some fun news about Honda lawnmowers. Right now, when you purchase a Honda mower from CTE, you can get over $100 off MSRP, and we'll extend your Honda's warranty for 1 year. Did you know that CTE is Central Alabama's only independent Honda power equipment dealer? Well, what does that mean? It means, yes, we offer the full line of Honda power equipment, mowers, generators, water pumps, tillers, etc. Yes, we stock Honda parts, and yes, we service Honda products. And speaking of service, when you purchase CTE's VIP package, you get free delivery upon purchase, and for as long as you own your mower, you get free pickup and delivery, free blade sharpening, our 7-day repair guarantee, and a free rental mower when yours is in our service department. With service like that, why go anywhere else? And military personnel, to honor you, please ask about our military discounts. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Since Patrick Shanahan has withdrawn his name as Defense Secretary, and Trump has said that he's going to nominate Army Secretary Mark Esper. Now, the media will go crazy over that, of course.
Yeah, Shanahan has been acting as the interim Defense Secretary ever since Mattis stepped aside.
Right. And there was some information out saying that Trump was a little dissatisfied with him. I think that came out yesterday or last week. Thank you. Okay, so let's continue on a little bit more of this quacking, as they would say in Morning Joe.
Position he really isn't. I mean, forget the pollster drama. To be in that position at this point in his presidency when the economy is doing fairly well is not a great or enviable electoral position, and I think he knows it.
Trump also complained.
It's because of his campaign manager. He is his own campaign manager. We discussed this yesterday.
But he can't fire
himself.
Given
the state of the economy.
Right.
What else would you be talking about as a candidate?
Economy, economy, economy. That's all I'd be doing. Bob Costa, though, he's never been able to shift. I mean Donald Trump, it's hard to remember a time when he wasn't in politics, but you know what worked for Donald Trump so well from August, from June of 2015 through the primary and then even into the general election. He snuck in doing the same thing, narrow casting, playing to the base, saying basically the hell with college educated people, hell with people in the suburbs, the hell with younger white people. I mean, and that has brought us to where we are. I'm wondering, Bob, and I'm asking this question for people like you who really have a great read on what's going on inside the White House. Is there an, I mean, you know Trump as well as anybody and that reports on him. When Trump says he's ahead in 17 states, does Donald think he's ahead in 17 states, or does he understand that actually he's really facing an uphill battle right now?
To answer that question, you have to think back to that period you just described, 2015, 2016, when reporters would go up to the 26th floor of Trump Tower, including reporters from the Washington Post. President Trump would have all these ratings from The Apprentice in framed picture frames on his wall. Mm-hmm. And he would use the phrase ratings and he would interchange it with his discussion of polling. So he would say, my ratings are doing really well. This is back in 2015. And we say, what did you mean by your ratings? He meant mm-hmm. his polling. And so polling to him is connected in an almost personal way to his own popularity, his own status. And so he's sensitive to polling because he sees it really as political ratings. And that's why people in his inner circle are often reluctant to give him bad polling information, because he takes it in that way. He doesn't just take it as data. He takes it as a reflection of his own popularity. But he does want to see the data. And he does see there are some weak spots across the country in some of these swing states. And when you talk about who he's playing to, Joe, he really believes he has to stoke his base to have any chance in 2020. That's why they keep coming back to immigration and back to trade.
Yeah, you know me, guys.
Now, did you hear Joe say economy, economy, economy?
Yeah.
Do you think that Donald Trump has not been talking about the economy? He talks about the economy all the time.
And it'll probably be one of the big points. I believe that kickoff event's tonight, right?
It is. People have been waiting 48 hours.
That's unbelievable.
That really is. I mean, it's like tent city over there. But, you know, Joe says that, but Donald Trump talks about the economy and talks about how great it is, and nobody reports it on ABC, NBC, or CBS, or MSNBC, or CNN. In, Joe. Okay, so 1980, Jimmy Carter running against a Republican. Jimmy Carter 52%, Republican 42%. 1983, another incumbent, Ronald Reagan running against Walter Mondale head to head. Ronald Reagan 41%. Mondale, 50%. This is a nationwide poll.
And these are polls essentially around the same time period as today.
June of 1983.
Yeah.
June of 83. Glad you brought that up. June of 1991, George Bush against the Democrat candidate. It was a pretty big field that was there. George Bush, 53%. Democrat candidate, 30%. If you remember, wow. George Bush got whacked. Remember, Ronald Reagan shellacked Walter Mondale, and you remember that Carter got shellacked by Ronald Reagan. June of 1995, Bill Clinton against Bob Dole, head-to-head. Bob Dole, 51%. Do you remember President Dole? Wasn't he a great president?
He was fantastic.
Wasn't he amazing?
I'm always amazed that the White House counsel allowed him to do those Viagra commercials.
I know. Bill Clinton, 46%. 51-46. I don't think it turned out that way. June of 2011. Barack Obama running against a Republican candidate. Barack Obama, 39%. This is midterm election. Barack Obama, 39%. Republican candidates, 44%. So, in other words, any incumbent that has gone through recent times, which is where you pick up the June time frame, all of them, it didn't turn out the way that the polling said it was going to turn out.
And I kept saying this on Greg's show yesterday, and that, what you just shared, I think, bears it out. It's early. It's really, really, really early.
Well, nobody on the other side is defined. I mean,
right.
You're talking about a Reagan against Mondale, you know. Mondale got defined by Ronald Reagan. He got defined by Ronald Reagan good stuff versus Walter Mondale kind of crazy stuff and harking back to the Jimmy Carter days. George Bush got really defined, had an economy that started. I mean, this guy went from a positive rating of 86% to losing as an incumbent in 1992. Bob Dole got really defined by Bill Clinton. You remember we had Ross Perot that ran in that election, but he, Bob Dole just couldn't take it. I mean, he was the senior senator, the statesman, the war hero, and Bill Clinton just defined him as, and just killed him. Too old, too aloof, too out of touch. Barack Obama against any Republican, they tried to define Barack Obama, and Barack Obama was just, couldn't have it happen to him. So, guys, the polling stuff that these guys are waxing on and talking about, and it's really funny, like the next day, they're talking about, oh, it's too early, and they're sitting there talking about Donald Trump is going to get shellacked.
Well, and also, as much as it breaks our hearts, most people who will be voting aren't paying attention that much. They really aren't. They might hear about the news here or there. They'll pick up something on Google or Facebook, or they'll watch cable news a little bit or listen to the show a little bit. But in terms of, like, really paying attention to what's going on, I don't think most people are, especially the mushy middle that really is up for grabs.
Well, and I'll tell you something, and we noticed this when we were talking about it in 2016. And Mitt Romney had some good rallies towards the end of his campaign, but he didn't have really big rallies during the beginning of his campaign. When you look at this Orlando event tonight where they had 100,000 reservations for 20,000, 23,000 slots, you have people showing up 48 hours in advance in tents, sleeping bags, little tent city there, having fun, a big community. And that is momentum. That is dedication. Joe Biden didn't have that kind of dedication. Bernie Sanders may have a little of that dedication, but not very much of it. But Joe Biden certainly didn't have that kind of dedication. News Talk 93.1, Then I'd let you guys in on that. We're going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
In 1939, an automobile manufacturer was the first to offer an air conditioning unit in its cars. And in 2019, Brubaker Motors thinks the coldest air comes from the hottest truck, the new 2019 Ram truck. I'm Dick Brubaker with Brubaker Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Montgomery and Prattville. It may be blazing, blistering, muggy, stifling, searing hot outside, but the coolest thing going is our Bigger Things sales event. Right now, you can save big with up to 20% off select new 2019 Ram trucks in stock. And for a limited time, you can receive interest-free financing for up to 72 months on select new 2019 Ram trucks. Control your comfort in the sweltering heat of Alabama with the coolest features on 2019 Ram trucks at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Do the refreshing thing and test drive one today during our Bigger Things sales event. Better vehicles, better service, better pricing. It's a better buy at Brubaker.
Plus tax, tag, title, and fees. With approved credit, must finance with Chrysler Capital. See dealer for details. Offer ends June 24th, 2019.
News Talk 93.1 is calling names in a good way. And if your name is called, you could be the winner of a one-carat Forever Mark diamond appraised at $10,000 from Marguerite's Exquisite Jewelry.
Yay! I hear you. Well, they just mentioned my name.
Winning is simple. You've got a name. Register online at our website, newstalk931.com. And we'll call out names all week long for you to qualify.
Thank you so much!
Awesome.
A one-carat Forever Mark diamond appraised at $10,000 and many more jewelry prizes from Marguerite's Exquisite Jewelry and News Talk 93.1.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. He's really never stopped running, but President Trump officially launches his 2020 campaign tonight with a rally at an arena in Orlando, Florida, after an all-day event outside.
The doors don't open until 5 o'clock, but there are already hundreds upon hundreds of people queued up waiting to get in, many of whom camped out in their tents on the sidewalks around the Amway Center overnight.
Fox's Phil Keating in Orlando. A day after top Senate Republican Mitch McConnell questioned why the former TV show host Jon Stewart was so bent out of shape about the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund not being re-extended yet, Stewart, on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, accuses McConnell of using first responders as political pawns.
You love the 9/11 community when they serve your political purposes, but when they're in urgent need, you slow walk, you dither.
Senator McConnell says the fund will be renewed. This is Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Radar will be quite active over the next few days with lots of showers and thunderstorms, but they'll still be random, so not every town will get the rain they need. Hot and humid again today with a high temperature around 90. A generous supply of showers and thunderstorms will be roaming around, most prominent in the afternoon and evening hours. Tonight's low down to about 73. Tomorrow, more scattered storms around, high 92. The storms on Thursday will be in greater numbers, and some will be quite strong. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few severe thunderstorm warnings on Thursday. And then the storms start to thin out a bit on Friday and Saturday. from the Blue Water Weather Center. This is Rich Thomas.
Smart Skin Spa and Salon is the River Region's full-service med spa, day spa, and salon. Located in historic downtown Prattville, with over 500 square feet, Smart Skin offers over 100 services of all things beauty and relaxation. Find them online or on Facebook now.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Yeah, I'm going to be watching that Orlando event tonight. We've got some stuff that's kind of breaking on some FBI and Hillary Clinton email stuff that we're going to get into later in the show here. But before we go anywhere else, let's pick up on the Hong Kong leader apologizes to the public. This is very, very rare. And listen, I mean, this is really something. Listen to this.
For the first time, Hong Kong's leader has apologized in person for the chaos and violence of the past week. Massive demonstrations forced her to hold up a controversial extradition bill. Protesters felt it would force people in Hong Kong into mainland China's legal system. Raimi Innocencio is in Hong Kong. Raimi, what did she say?
Carrie Lam did offer her most sincere apologies and said she is sad about the protest and the violence that's rocked the city in the past week. But questions are rising about her ability to carry on. The issue of face, losing it and being embarrassed, is a major cultural touchstone in China. The fact she showed her face at all today is surprising, but it appears too little, too late for protesters who want her to step down and withdraw the controversial extradition bill.
Your inability to say the word retract, to me at least, will continue to sow distrust in Hong Kong society. But you say that you want another chance here.
I will not, this is an undertaking, I will not proceed again with this legislative exercise if these fears and anxieties could not be adequately addressed.
After the press conference, protest organizers said that they do not accept Carrie Lam's apology and she hasn't met any of their demands.
That is huge that she stood up and said that. She's not going to put the legislation back in. And so that stops that. But the protesters don't seem to be satisfied. I guess they're kind of feeling their proverbial oats here.
Indeed. And what's also interesting on the mainland, it's always interesting to follow the Chinese press run by the Communist Party. For the longest time, they've been supporting Lam, the leader of Hong Kong, leader, using that term loosely, the overseer maybe. But now they're just in the Chinese press supporting the government of Hong Kong. They're not saying anything about Lam.
Exit stage left.
Yes. I feel like her days are numbered. Because she's getting it from both sides now.
Yeah.
She's not
going to
please. She's not pleasing anybody. The protesters don't accept her apology, and the government in Beijing is probably upset with her for apologizing in the first place.
Well, that's a big thing in the Asian world. Big thing.
I love what's happening in Hong Kong. I mean, I don't love that it's necessary for the protesters to get out there, but the fact that people are feeling their oats, as you said, Dan, gives some hope. Gives some hope.
There you go. David Martin's going to report on what's going on in the Middle East. Remember, we've had Shanahan has withdrawn his name for Secretary of Defense. He's going to remain acting, and the president's put up the Espers, who is the Secretary of the Army, as the Secretary of Defense. Be interesting to see what happens. But let's listen to David Martin talking about troops heading to the Middle East.
More American troops are on their way to the Middle East this morning, with tensions between the U.S. and Iran growing. The Pentagon released new photos, which it says provide additional evidence with Iran, saying that it was behind the attack on two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman.
Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan authorized about 1,000 troops sent to the region, where Iran is now threatening to breach a key part of the landmark nuclear agreement. David Martin is at the Pentagon. David, 1,000 new troops in the region. What's their job there?
Defense officials say the troops will provide greater defense against possible missile attacks and additional surveillance of the Iranian military. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will be briefed on the buildup when he visits Central Command headquarters in Florida this morning.
Our maximum pressure campaign continues.
The State Department yesterday remained determined to keep the heat on Iran. And the orders for more troops came just as the Pentagon was releasing new high-resolution photos, which officials say show a crew dressed in Iranian Revolutionary Guard uniforms attempting to destroy evidence of the attack on a Japanese-owned oil tanker.
Yeah, this thing is... We're going to get into another series of stories here talking about that neighbors of Iran aren't quite bought into this whole thing yet. But let's listen to the second part of this story.
Shortly after, the Pentagon announced the increase in troops it's sending to the region, saying the U.S. does not seek conflict with Iran, but is working to ensure the safety and welfare of military personnel in the region. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has become the point man for marshaling international pressure against Iran.
We should not yield to nuclear extortion by the Iranian regime.
Iran, meanwhile, announced it is increasing production of uranium and will soon go over the limit it is allowed to stockpile under an agreement signed by the Obama administration, but disowned by the Trump administration.
Iran, in a very public way, telling the world that our patience has run thin and we're going to begin step by step exceeding the limits set by this agreement.
Under the treaty, Iran is allowed to stockpile nearly 300 kilograms of low-enriched uranium, well short of the 1,000 kilograms needed to produce a nuclear bomb.
Iran is calibrating each of these steps to create political leverage. They're not racing towards the bomb quite yet.
The U.S. has accused Iran of being behind attacks, not just against international shipping, but also against U.S. personnel in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yesterday, three rockets were fired into an Iraqi military base where U.S. troops are located. Fortunately, no one was injured.
You're going to hear Michael Morrell, former CIA guy, that's going to be talking about that. They don't nearly have enough uranium to create a bomb, or it'll take them be a year away. So they're getting kind of stuck. They realize that Trump's going to stay with this whole thing, and so they, like the kid, are acting up and, like, you know, no, I want to get my way. Okay, so let's listen into that. Some of the Iran's neighbors not yet convinced the country is behind oil tanker attacks, which is kind of disappointing.
Iran's neighbors in the Middle East are reacting to the tanker's attacks in different ways. Charlie Daggett is in the United Arab Emirates with the regional response.
The United States is trying to ramp up international support, but the case against Iran is not a slam dunk here. Officials here in the UAE have been careful not to directly name check Iran, instead saying the attacks are the work of an unnamed state actor. Iran's regional arch rival, Saudi Arabia, has taken a far more aggressive approach, releasing video of Saudi military aircraft and U.S. fighter jets in formation, conducting exercises over the Persian Gulf in a clear show of force and a message aimed directly at Iran. The Saudi crown prince has flat out accused Iran and its proxies of being behind the attacks. Now, both of those tankers are now just off the coast here in Fujairah, but we're being kept well away from them. In fact, we've been told in no uncertain terms that taking a boat out and doing filming of any description is strictly forbidden. That just underlines the extreme sensitivities here.
So if some of these neighbors are not convinced that they're doing this, that's not good. I'm sure Saudi, you know, as you got from that, Saudi Arabia's in, Israel's in, but some of these others, Oman would be one that I'd like to ask Dr. Sorensen about to see what he says about this whole thing. So Michael Morrell is going to weigh in on this, and Michael Morrell, remember, former CIA person, and he's going to be talking about Iranian actions and how close are they to getting this thing done.
The Defense Department, Michael, is saying that we're not seeking conflict with Iran. So what message are we sending by sending 1,000 troops to the Middle East?
Anthony, I think we're sending the message that we're going to defend our interests. And I actually think this step is prudent. As David Martin told us earlier in the program, the job of these additional forces is going to be increased surveillance, watching the Iranians, and it's going to be to defend U.S. forces and U.S. military bases. So I think it makes sense from both a message perspective and a defense of our forces perspective.
Michael, this comes as Iran is increasing its nuclear enrichment. One U.S. official called this nuclear blackmail. Is that how you see it?
So this is a step by the Iranians to put additional pressure on the international community to push us to stop our maximum pressure campaign. That's what they tried to do last week with the attack on the ships. That's what they're trying to do now by taking one step away from the nuclear agreement. They are under severe pressure from sanctions. They want that to stop, and this is the course that they've chosen. I think it's really important to note, Adriana, that they are still a long way. Even if they break this threshold for low-enriched uranium, they're a long way away from a nuclear weapon. So we are not on the verge of a nuclear crisis here. That would be at least a year away.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to East. East, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday.
Well, the bomb is just a year away. That makes everybody feel better. I think I'm going to enjoy my lunch now. Look, is there any talk among the Reagan Group and Dr. Sorensen and some of our Middle East experts of the possibility that the Iranians could have used surrogates like, say, the Palestinians to launch these attacks, their version perhaps of militias, people who were pretty radical and stuff, but they're not specifically tied to the government. Is that a possibility?
I think anything is possible, but I mean, right now, what the evidence says is that was an Iranian boat, and the Iranian their special forces group, by their uniform and by the boat itself, and they really don't need to go do that. I mean, they are so blatant about looking you square in the eye and saying, no, we didn't do that, when you know damn well and good that did.
Yeah, and you've got the principle of taqiyya there, which is, in Islam, is telling a lie in order to propagate your cause. I just wonder, because it seems to be a common thread among militant radical groups, whether they be white nationalists or Islamists, they want to foment some sort of conflict between the nations so that they can take charge. And I wonder if that's something that may be below the surface over there. You know, hey, let's get the Saudis and the Iranians fighting with each other, and we'll see who comes out on top. I don't know, Dan. This is scary stuff.
Well, I think that is Eichmann's razor is the simplest answer, I think, is the right answer here. I think what the Iranians are doing is they're like little kids. They're not getting their way. So they're doing things to get attention and try to get people to put pressure on the U.S. to let go of the sanctions. And I can tell you, it ain't going to happen.
Kind of like North Korea on steroids. Huh?
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Dan. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ace. I appreciate it. So, hey, by the way, I like that picture that you sent me.
Oh, listen, I tell you what, that cake was something else.
That caramel cake is, yeah, I think, one of the best things they do.
I was afraid we were going to have a fight over that. I mean, that was just, Michael Stipe was there losing his religion. That was incredible. it was good. It was good. We'll have to see about getting you guys some of that.
Ace, thank you so much, my friend. Thank I appreciate you. News Talk 93.1, Dan Morris Show will be back right after this.
carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the present. These
are fun. Hi, folks. Rusty here for the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest. And we're still on the radio every weeknight at 7 o'clock. It took us a little while, but we are on TV on ABC 32 and the CW. As a matter of fact, David, he's taking voice lessons. Let's listen in.
All right, my boy, you'll make amends with your exercises. Repeat after me. Judy, Judy, Judy.
Judy.
After labor, you're going to be the next Greg Judell.
You're probably not going to take voice lessons, but you do need somebody to speak up for your portfolio. Call David Ernest at 279-7431. Watch for us on the CW and ABC 32 on the weekends. And don't forget the Health and Wealth Radio Show. Weeknights at 7 on News Talk 93.1 WACV. That's really good.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV. The Dan Morris Show.
Two seven two nine two two eight. That's where we are. Yeah, Michael Morrell was at the CIA during some of this times that. Before Brennan and everybody got there. And this, we're kind of getting this sense, we're going to get into this later into the show. There's a lot more, you know, Victoria Nuland, his name is starting to resurface as somebody who touched the dossier, knew about it early. They're getting a lot more contacts over the State Department. We're finding out that, and we're going to get into this later in the show, that there are all these emails that they're now finding that are top secret, that are additional top secret emails that Clinton had and other people had that they shouldn't have had. And I think they're digging, they're drilling down into this thing. I think there are going to be some people that are very, very nervous.
And because it's the same players like Michael Morrell, it does make me skeptical. I mean, I don't think it's implausible that the Iranians did this, and if more evidence is shown, fine. But I keep wondering, are they that dumb? Yes, you're feeling the pressure, so you think blowing up a few tankers is going to really give you the outcome that you need? Like, it just seems like if they did it, it's a very desperate, stupid move.
Well, what happens is, you know, the ships are coming through, and the insurance on them just starts knocking the price of gasoline or oil up. The gas, if you notice, oil is at a pretty reasonable rate right now.
Yeah.
I just noticed it's 227, the 87 octane. But the thing is, they're just trying to shake people up, and you get some problems there, and the oil prices do go up. I did notice a barrel of oil went up about 5% since this has happened. Not a huge move, but you're certainly going to see something happen down at the pump. That's what happens with these things. So let's stay with Michael Morrell and talk about U.S. intelligence on that it was the Iranians that did this.
Michael, what do you think of the intelligence released by the U.S. Allegedly showing Iran placing or at least removing a mine on the hull of one of these tankers? Does that support Mike Pompeo and President Trump's position that Iran is definitely behind these attacks?
Tony, I think so. I was persuaded by the high-resolution photographs. I was persuaded by the timeline that the administration released yesterday. I was persuaded last Thursday by the Secretary of State's strong statement. And most importantly, I was persuaded on Sunday on Face the Nation when Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat of the House Intelligence Committee, told Margaret Brennan that the evidence that the Iranians are behind this is strong. And Adam is no fan of the administration. So the fact that he has seen the intelligence and says it's strong is convincing to me.
Man, Adam Schiff convinced somebody or something?
Wow.
Because it's so out of the ordinary. Maybe into the realm of extraordinary. So now, and this was a part of a thing that was on Morning Joe also, but he's going to kind of go, you know, in Morning Joe, Mika and Joe Scarborough just took this to the bank, is that, you know, the reason these countries aren't believing this stuff is because they are, you know, Trump lies all the time, and he's always not telling the truth. So they think, well, maybe he's not telling the truth now. Now, Michael Morrell is going to kind of pile in on this kind of same concept.
Michael, when you're talking about this area of the world, grainy photos allegedly showing something, a lot of people, their mind is cast back to 2002, 2003, the run-up to Iraq. Are our allies punishing us today for mistakes apparently made way back then?
So I think there are three issues, Tony. One is the Iraq issue, right? It's going to take a long time before that gets out of people's memory. The second issue is that this administration, let's face it, says falsehoods every day, particularly out of the White House, and that has undermined our credibility, so we have to overcome that. But perhaps most important are the other nations of the world, including our allies and partners, actually blame us for the situation that we're in today. They blame us for pulling out of the nuclear deal and creating this crisis. So when you put all three of those together, that's why they're responding the way they are to what happened last week.
So how close, Michael, do you think we are actually to a conflict with Iran here?
So I believe that neither country at this point wants war. Iran doesn't want it. President Trump doesn't want it. The United States doesn't want it. I think that could change if they get close to a nuclear weapon. But as I said earlier, that's a year away. I think the risk of conflict right now would be by miscalculation. If the Iranians miscalculate and were to attack a U.S. military base or a U.S. embassy and actually kill Americans, I think we'd be in a different place. Or if the Saudis or the Emiratis were to respond and attack Iran, I think we'd be in a different place. So miscalculation could bring us to conflict.
I don't think that they're going to let the Saudis cut loose and kind of go alone type thing.
Right.
I don't see that at all. And I see this very strategic, very tactical, where there's a boat that they know that just did something, they go blow it up, send it to Allah type thing. But unless they go in and do attack, if they attack a U.S. warship, and that's a whole different ballgame.
Yes,
now
yes,
now you can do basically whatever you want to, but I think it'll still be very limited. I think it'll be along the lines of what Reagan did, where it took out a couple of oil platforms and kind of sank their little, not their navy, but those little high-speed boats. I think it was 200 of them.
Well, and I've seen recent stuff. This is now, by recent, I mean a few years old, that, I mean, a few sorties could really just damage Iran and their capabilities of economically and militarily. It wouldn't take much for the United States Air Force and Navy to really cripple them.
Well, it would be interesting. One thing that you keep hearing from more of the general type and the strategists is that as soon as you punch Iran in the nose, they're going to back off. So we'll see what happens in the fullness of time. Newstone 93.1, Dan Moore Show, will be back second hour right after this.
Your news talk place to be, the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.